Hey, this is Scott Hanselman, and I'm hanging out here in Building 42. What do we got here? Who are you, and what am I looking at?
Hi, I'm Colin Miller with the .NET Micro Framework team. And we actually have a number of different development boards, projects that we've started, and actual commercial products that are built on the .NET Micro Framework, which is a relatively new platform. We actually just joined the developer division out of the research group. And we brought with us some of the smallest .NET implementations around.
And when you say the micro framework, is this what people have called the tiny CLR?
It has been. It was originally called the tiny CLR internally.
Okay.
It's part of it still is. We changed name a little bit because we were more than the CLR. And the CLR was actually one piece of the implementation which is complete. So it seemed like a misnomer to call it the tiny part.
Because it's more than that, because it's a whole framework now. There's libraries to use.
Yes, and there's a full set of .NET libraries. They're not the full equivalent of the desktop.
Right.
It's an interesting combination. We cherry-picked the right pieces for embedded from various versions of .NET.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have full 3 or 3.5.
Right.
But we've also added a lot of things that are very specific to embedded applications.
Uh-huh.
Things like classes for accessing SPI interfaces, GPIO, I2C, things like that.
And what does GPIO mean for our listeners?
It's a graphic... it's a general purpose interface.
Okay.
It's just basically a pin that you can test to see if it's been set high or low by an external device,
uh-huh.
or set high or low yourself if you want to drive an external device.
So this is I've got some board, I've got the .NET framework on it, and GPIO lets me put on daughter boards and other things, bits of IO and stuff. So like, what do we got here?
Here's an example right here where we've just added an ultrasound rangefinder to the GPIOs here. There's just four pins. Two of them provide the power to the device, and two of them are set as input and output. And I can show you in a little bit. We can bring up the project that that ran this, and you can see that it's in .NET. You can do this in just a few lines of code. Very simple code.
Really? Okay. So I buy this. I'm a developer. I know C sharp, but maybe I failed EE in college. I'm not a person that knows how to solder, but I do know C sharp. I buy one of these developer boards. I buy a peripheral, and in this case, you said it was a rangefinder, but it could be anything.
Yeah.
Humidity, temperature, gyroscope.
Yes, yes. We have examples, for instance, of people building thermostats with these devices.
Okay, and I just hook this up to my machine. I write C sharp, and it just works.
Right.
And I'm not soldering anything.
No, you plug this in through USB to your machine. You're doing all your development in Visual Studio, just like you normally do.
VB as well? C sharp or VB?
No, just C sharp for now.
Okay.
We actually have an emulator, an extensible emulator, so you can download our SDK, which is free.
Okay.
You can start developing your application immediately.
Okay.
When it's done, you just plug it in the USB in here and retarget Visual Studio instead of going to the emulator to send it to the hardware. And it'll download, and you can continue to debug inside Visual Studio what's running on your hardware.
So I don't need to buy this to start working now?
Not immediately. You can try out the micro framework without any hardware at all.
Very cool. Very cool. So we've got robots. We've got remote controls. You got all sorts of things going on here. What do you got that you can show me that's running .NET right now?
So what we can do is... this is just a simple application on another development board, which is a tilt game that's running off of a daughter board accelerometer that's been added to this board.
Okay.
And you can see that you can play a variety of different games. And it just gives you an idea of the kind of UI capability that the micro framework has.
Okay, so what's .NET doing here? .NET's doing everything? Painting to the screen, talking to the gyroscope?
Absolutely everything in there. Yeah, that's the only thing running on there.
So where is the chip that is running the .NET framework?
It's actually on this module in the back here.
Okay, so that's really small. That's a lot smaller than the thing itself.
Yes.
So that's really all I need.
Yeah.
And plus the gyroscope in the screen.
Right. Yeah. So if you were going to make a commercial product, you could then take this development board. There's a couple of manufacturers that we're working with that have taken this model of creating modules that they ported the micro framework to.
Okay.
Because it really shortens the development time. If you were to build an embedded device, very frequently there's this tension between getting your hardware done, so you have an environment to build your applications on, but sometimes the applications define what the hardware needs are. So there's lots of going back and forth. With this, you can get something up. We had one example of a partner taking a project and actually getting it into a prototype stage in a month and ready for production in 3 months.
Wow.
That's compared to the typical embedded devices, which are typically about 18 months.
Okay. So what are the layers here? Because, like, I always, as a diabetic, I always come back to my insulin pump, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got this insulin pump for the viewers here. This is something that delivers insulin to me, and you've got charts and graphs, and it's got a lot of stuff going on here, and it's mm-hmm. embedded. But nothing really interesting has happened in about 7 years. It's the same pump that I got 7 years ago. I assume somebody wrote something in C 7 years ago,
or
assembly language, and it's been in my pocket ever since.
Yep.
So what's the relationship in a device like this as far as, like, programmer language and CPU versus the layers in something like the done in
microframe? So very frequently in a device like that, they would have built directly to that hardware.
Okay.
And the information about the hardware would have permeated, but have been pervasive in the application.
Knowledge of the hardware
yes.
is everywhere.
Yeah. And so if, for instance, you had built a project around that and they needed to change, suppose they were going to rebuild this, a common problem in embedded mm-hmm. is that, say, the display that they use there
right.
is end-of-lifed.
Okay.
They may have to
manufacturer won't make them anymore.
They may have to completely rebuild the application because it's just pervasive throughout there. And so one of the things that you get with a virtual machine that we created with the Micro Framework mm-hmm. is that you get that independence. So if during the process of development of your product, you decide to try a different display or a different set of hardware peripherals,
okay.
nothing changes in your application.
Okay. And the distinction, of course, between those that are listening about a virtual machine in the sense of like a VM, like VMware or something like that, which completely abstracts away the hardware. This is abstracting away the hardware, as you just described, but then there's another layer below that is the firmware, right?
Right.
That kind of brokers the deal.
Right. And what we have is we have two parts of the microframework. The SDK provides that environment that I talked about that lives in Visual Studio, fully integrated with Visual Studio,
uh-huh.
and gives you that environment for developing managed code.
Okay.
We also have a porting kit, which is the other piece of it, which is where you map that virtual machine down on the particular hardware that you have.
Okay. So I would go, if I wanted to do this today, and I'm not an electronics major, I would buy a developer kit.
One of these hardware boards from one of our partners, yeah.
Or use the emulator that we talked about that you can download for free.
Right.
How much memory do these things have? I mean, back in the day I was thinking about, embedded systems, they have custom chips and custom this and custom that and a couple of K of memory.
Yeah.
This was 10, 20 years ago. What's the state of the art for embedded systems for, these little tiny things like my pump or?
Well, the vast majority of devices, the large bulk of devices are still at very relatively small footprints,
mm-hmm.
16, 32K, very common.
Okay.
Probably the most common size for embedded devices.
Okay.
It is growing up. It's growing relatively slowly. There's a big price break when you change from something that's called a microcontroller, which has all the memory that you need on the processor,
okay.
and having to have external memory. So there's sort of a gold standard. Can you run on a microcontroller or not? Which the microframework right now is targeted so that we can run on higher end microcontrollers.
Mm-hmm.
We're still not as small as we'd like to be,
right?
But we can still run on the vast majority of embedded systems.
So how small is that? I mean, .NET microframework runs in how much memory?
Well, in terms of RAM, we can run it at about 32K for a very simple application.
Wow.
And about 256K of flash to support to provide the image.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And but a lot of these applications run things like TCP/IP. One of the things that we're seeing is in the embedded space in general is applications are becoming more connected,
right.
More complex. And so I don't want to give people the impression you can run this color display and a TCP/IP stack in 32K.
Sure.
These devices here have about a meg of RAM, I think.
Now, earlier you showed me a really interesting thing where a guy had built a system to water his plants when he was away.
Right.
And it was connected. And it knew about the water sensor, it knew about the valves to turn the water on, it knew about the web. He's going to need a half meg of RAM to pull that off and a little one of these?
Well, he had one of these boards here, which was used in, that was actually an entry in our contest.
Okay.
Their Dare to Dream Different contest. And these, again, have a fair amount of RAM and flash on them.
Mm-hmm.
As a development board, since they only make one, they typically put a lot of memory on them. Because they don't want anybody to not buy the board because there's not enough.
Right.
You find out, once you've done your development, you find out how much you need, and when you build your eventual target, you build it with less.
So then this gentleman, now that he's built it with his development board, he then goes to the manufacturer and says, here's how it works, here's what I need, and the manufacturer says, all right, the cheapest way we can make this is 256K, and this board and that thing. And then he doesn't have to, his final board wouldn't have all the peripheral I/O stuff.
Right. What you do, actually what he would do would be to measure what his application actually takes in terms of memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then explain, describe that to the manufacturer.
Uh-huh.
Or he could, again, use one of these modules, which come with a fair amount of memory on them. And then all the manufacturer has to do is expose those peripheral connections
right.
that he actually uses.
Now these here that you've been showing me are big, and they have big in the sense of, you know, they're about that big. They have a little screen. They're development boards. What? Show me the little one you had that had a gyroscope and what was going on there. Well, here's another one. Yeah.
Well, this is another one here.
Is this also a development board?
This is a development board. This is a very small development board, and this one sells under $100.
But it still has, it has two USB ports, and it has an SD card slot.
Yes, this is actually a very fully functional little development board. One of the things is this is an ARM 7.
Okay.
The other one's an ARM 9. Again, if you wanted, as you were building your application, you'd want to know what kind of requirements in terms of performance you have.
Okay.
If you wanted to drive a very complex display, you'd need something with a little more muscle to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we still, as you mentioned, with the plant watering, there's still lots of things that include DPWS support or connections to web services in the cloud.
Okay.
This is an interesting package that comes from one of our partners.
Well, that's very small. That's actually mostly battery.
This is all mostly battery.
Yeah.
This is part of a sensor network board offering that they have. And the two boards there is there's a processor board above the batteries, and then there's a sensor board on top of that. This particular sensor board has things like gyroscope, light sensor, temperature, things like that. And the idea behind these is that they speak 802.15.4,
mm-hmm.
Which is a low power, low bandwidth wireless protocol that allows you to bring these into a sensor range of each other,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just start creating networks automatically.
Wow.
And so if you wanted to, for instance, instrument a factory or your house, you just write one of these up, put it out there, and it joins the network.
And now, you said that you just moved over to DevDiv, so this is not only... within DevDiv, it runs in Visual Studio. They can download it for free. They can get the emulator for free.
Right.
But there's an open source aspect of this too.
We're in the process of moving to that. So part of moving to the developer division was that we decided to open source the code. We're still working out, frankly, the licensing agreements. Obviously, there's a lot of complexity to doing that.
Sure.
But the intent is to make the entire tree available to people. There's a couple reasons for doing that. One is that to move this from different architectures, before it required us to get involved.
Right.
So if we wanted to move to an architecture we didn't support, we'd have to rebuild the libraries for it. By putting the library source code out there, anybody can move it to any architecture. So we don't become the bottleneck. But also so that people can feel comfortable that they can figure out what the problems are because they now have the entire source tree.
Wow, very cool. So where do people go to figure this out? Where's the portal for all things micro framework?
There's a couple. We're out on MSDN.
Okay.
We're also out on Microsoft.com/NetMF.
NetMF.
NetMF. And we're about to come out with another portal, which is just NetMF.com, which is where our open source community will be created.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much for talking to us here. And I'm going to go and play with this development board that you're going to loan me.
Okay.